Michael Coleman played tailback, cornerback, punted, kicked off. At halftime, I had to use him to sell popcorn and Coke. His 3 years at Stratford, we were 35-5, and we went to the semifinals and back-to-back his junior and senior year. Signed a football scholarship with the University of Alabama. He was selected 18th in the 18th round of the 1994 draft by the Boston Red Sox. Played in the major leagues with Boston and the Yankees. Also, he was with Cincinnati and Washington and Tampa Bay. Elected to the Metro National Sports Hall of Fame in 2013. And now he owns and operates M3 Baseball Training Facility. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for getting up and coming
on
the show.
Good morning.
Michael, how you doing, man?
Hey, Greg. How are you, man?
Doing well. Say hello to Craig Ladd.
Hey, Craig, how you doing this morning?
Doing well, Michael.
Well, of all of that intro, of all the things, Michael, that you did while you were a player, one thing you didn't do was catch a pass. Okay, I know that.
Hey, I believe I did.
Did you? The one I catch all year? The one throw all year?
Hey, it's one.
Hey, if the ball went in the air, that was a pass for Bubba, right?
He had a chance at catching. That's right. He was 99% run.
If it went in the air, he threw it too.
Well, and I know it broke his heart that the running, but of course the Stratford and the Alabama, and then but the decision to go to the baseball, the obviously playing for the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we always go back to that time when you were there, and my wife Robin and I were on vacation. Had lunch before his game at Fenway Park, and then he started in center field. I got to go down in the locker room to the Red Sox locker room, thanks to Michael. But Michael, how you doing, man? Let's start with M3 Baseball Training Facility. We'll work our way backward. Talk about those days at Stratford that sometimes you try to forget. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, tell me what you're doing with M3.
Oh, man, I'm working on 11 years now. Started M3 back in 2005. I knew I wanted to do something after I got done playing. I was on the back end of playing, and I knew I liked working with kids, and I figured I could be very valuable to kids in teaching them the stuff that I learned throughout the minor leagues and in the major leagues. And 11 years later, I'm still doing it and have tons of kids in college, a couple in the big leagues, and lucky enough to work with one famous big leaguer who's doing quite well right now. But
you think
what I do every day, man, and that's where I'm headed now, to the facility now.
Michael, also, I got to say this, you know, because old Coach Spears kept up with you. One of your former coaches was just named Manager of the Year, wasn't it?
Who would that be?
You need to tell Coach, you know.
You know what, man? I've been around some really good people growing up, and that 15 through 18, we trying to find our way through East Nashville and Stratford. I've had a lot of people lead me that I needed to be led because of what I was going through in my own life. I've come across a lot of great people, man, and I'm not only happy for the people I've come across, but I looked back last night and I see Stratford, 2-8. Who would have thought that they're doing what they're doing right now? I know if they continue and they win it, I'll be in Cookville with my black and orange on.
Well, you know, and of course, it's been pointed out a bunch here this morning, the last Stratford team to make it to the semifinal rounds was 93. And, of course, you guys overcame coaching to have those two great back-to-back years. So,
Hey, you know what, man? I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was some bad calls in that game. I'm not blaming anybody, but video does show. But you know what? Time goes on, man. I look back. I think about that all the time. I still have my the DVDs from those games, and I still watch them, knowing the outcome. it's hard to watch sometimes, but you know what? Great memories, man.
Well, and, of course, I was at both of those games back-to-back years at the Pit, and what a great – those are two of my most favorite high school football games I've ever gone to. And then, of course, now our friendships that have come afterwards. Craig, Michael Coleman is with us. He is our Nissan of Cool Springs Prep Legend of the Week.
Michael, just piggybacking on what Stratford's done this year, I mean, to come into the playoffs 2-8 and then to win three straight road games and then going on the road at Covington coming up on Friday night, I mean, you got to really take your hat off to those kids. They've done an outstanding job.
You do, man. Them boys have been through so much, man. It's been a tough year for them. I saw them play three times this year, and it was frustrating to watch because they do have some talent. They just couldn't put it together, and I guess it doesn't matter what your record is in the playoffs. You get hot at the right time, and I think the road team better be wary of where they're going into, but also the home team, you got to be thinking, man, these kids have nothing to lose. They have zero to lose, and we're going to have to bring it all, and I think Stratford's going to bring it all. They can smell that turf. I can smell it for them, and I'm hoping they go down there and pull some miracle for them.
There'd be a lot of people over in East Nashville. But,
Bubba actually buys turf cologne. I didn't know if you knew that.
Hey, Michael, I'll tell you what. It goes back to being the coaching in me, too. You know, you tell these kids, that's why every game, even if you're the favorite, that's why you tee it up. I mean, 2-8, you just don't know. You can go into any game undefeated. Your record can be this or that. But that's why you tee it up, because anybody can win on any given night. And they've done an outstanding job, too. And I know where most of that 93 team will be next Friday night, and it'll be close to East Nashville, because we'll be over there supporting one of our favorites and Arcente, and of course him being the head coach at Maplewood.
Yeah, Arcente Broom, of course, went through TSU and head coach with it now. Hey, Michael, when you look back on your major league days, of course I got to see a little bit of it, write about it back in the time, and the decision you made, and instead of going to the football scholarship to Alabama to take the major league baseball route. And you made it. You made it to the show with the Red Sox and the Yankees. What do you take away now in retrospect, your time there? Because that part of your life and that decision sort of laid the foundation for where you are right now.
It did. If I had to do all over again, I think I would have went to Bama just to mature a little more than what I was. I had no idea what I was walking into. After I got drafted. And honest to God, when I got drafted, I literally thought I was going to Boston. I thought I was going to the Red Sox. That plane ended up in Fort Myers, Florida. So it was mentally I had to grasp that I'm going to work now instead of just going to play a game. Once I got that, because after my second year of pro ball, I actually was ready to quit. I came back home and met with Stallings and my grandmother and a few other people, just trying to get some insight on what I'm doing, because I've never failed at anything. And to hear the fans booing you, I wasn't used to that. And my grandmother told me, it's just time you stick it out. You chose this career, and this is what you're going to do. And from then on, I was hell-bent on making it to the big leagues, and my whole outlook changed. And I knew I was going to make it to the big leagues no matter what. I wasn't taking no for an answer. And I knew I had to force somebody's hand in that system to keep calling me up, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, I can remember, too, Michael, we were talking about that second conversation with Coach Stallings. I can remember when Coach DeBose took over, and me and you talked, and Coach DeBose said, Coach, can you get back in touch with Michael? Can you get back in touch with Michael? And I know he talked, and we were talking when they came in Music City Bowl. Does he still want to play? Can he? And I remember all that. But I also remember one day, I go to my front porch, guys, and I got a box on the front porch. I'm just going to tell you a story. This is Michael Comer. I got a box, and it says, New York Yankees Clubhouse. I'm going, what am I getting now? And I said, I knew who it was from, because I only knew one playing for the Yankees. And it was a hat, opening day hat, when Michael played for the Yankees, and sweatbands. Well, with 13 on it. And if I'm not mistaken, I've talked to Michael about, we've talked about this many times, Michael's the last one to wear number 13 before A-Rod got it with the Yankees.
Absolutely.
And I still have those sweatbands and that hat, and I won't let anybody, I've had so many people want that hat.
In your high school number and the numbers you still use, you were 13 also,
right.
Back in when they played before face mask.
Yeah.
So, but.
Michael, don't you laugh at him now.
I thought that number was unlucky all my years until I got it.
That's right.
Michael, talk about those days. You guys were, during your time, you're 23-3, and you advanced to back-to-back state quarterfinal appearances your junior and senior year. Talk about, and I try to stress this on, so I work with Hillwood some, and I try to stress this on these kids. Guys, you got to take advantage of it. You're only going to play high school football one time, and it doesn't get any better than that.
I think we had a special group of guys, and of those guys, the majority of us still talk. And thank God that most of them are still alive right now, but I don't think it won't hit them guys until after they As far as seniors, after you lose that last game, you go back to school on that Monday, it starts to set in on you. Then you move a little forward, and you get that diploma thinking, man, I will never be on a football field again unless I'm going to watch a game. But we were so tight-knit. Everybody lived in the community together. We were an arm's length away from each other, but we really had no choice other than be around each other. We worked out our differences. We fought. We got mad at each other. But we went out to eat, and we've done all those things to keep that team together. We didn't need – we could honestly, and no strike to Bubba or Coach Campbell, we were so in tune with each other, we could have ran a game by ourselves. That's just how we worked together as a unit. It made Bubba's job a lot easier as well to have those kind of athletes, but it's few and far between that you have that many studs on the same field together. You're just trying to figure out how you can get the ball so you can keep everybody from complaining.
Well, and how many of them went and played at the next level, obviously, Bubba?
Yeah.
7, 8, maybe.
Yeah, right. And Romy Reed, our tight end, is the head basketball coach over there, and Cente is coaching at Maplewood. Gregory Young, the up back, he's helping Romy coach. But I'm going to tell you what, Gregory Young kept us going.
Yes, he did. I mean, I tell you what, on Monday and film day, I knew the play that was called, and I couldn't find the ball. He was that good at the offense that we ran, and you don't see that offense ran anymore these days, probably because you don't have 3-4 backs like that in the same backfield that were not selfish, and all we were trying to do was get to that end zone to win a ball game. It was just to watch him, to be the size that he is and elude defenders, that stiff arm. For me, he made that stiff arm popular in high school because he threw some big old dudes off of him
on the sideline. Hey, Michael, one more and we'll let you go. But certainly, Overton product, Mookie Betts, American League MVP, and I know how close you guys are.
5 years in the making. He's a special kid, humble as they get. I guess if you didn't know anything about baseball and you came in at M3 and you watched him work out, you wouldn't know the type of person that he really is. I mean, he is as laid back as they get. And I think him having his newborn, Kenley, it's going to slow him down a little bit, but I also think it's going to refocus him for 2019. He's been home almost 2 weeks, and I think he's hit 3 times already. I think he hit right after the baby was born. So not only that, I cherish the memories that we make at M3, the conversations, just us in there, the doors are locked. It's me and him going at it, just back and forth. And I'm it's shell-shocked sometimes because I'm with an MVP that's standing right here. And he is further from that. That's just not him. And as long as I've known him, he's been the type of dude that, it's fun and nice to get all the recognition at the end of the year, but he's just not that type of person, man. He's laid back as they come.
Michael, always great to catch up with you. Don't be a stranger, man, okay?
And, Greg, you know what, man? I'll say this. And back then, I think Nashville, we had 2 newspapers, the Banner and the Tennessean. And by far, you were probably my favorite guy going through high school and even after. I actually look forward to the interviews, talking to you, and even years after. I mean, it takes me way back to different memories and stuff that we went through at Stratford. But I appreciate everything you're doing, big guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Michael. It means a lot coming from you. Hey,
And Bubba, I don't have too many words. No, I'm just
we don't have – that's another show. You got to buy the time if you want to talk about Bubba. We'll sell you an hour for that one. Hey, thank you, Michael. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you, Mike. Really? Love you, man.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.